From beach towels to tea towels, and from mugs to water bottles, the TNT Shop has it all. Browse our shop now at tntradio.live. Alex Zaharoff-Royt and Talkin' Tech on today's News Talk, TNT.
Well, thank you for being here with me on this week's episode of Talking Tech with Alex Zaharoff-Royt. The journey into technology's wonders never ceases. So let's start with some news before we get to two fabulous guests tonight. We'll start with Elon Musk's Grok, which has been released in a new version 1.5. It features improved reasoning capabilities that are on par with the GPT-4 engine from OpenAI's ChatGPT. And it features a context length of 128,000 tokens, meaning you could ask and give detailed instructions. Elon Musk announced that Grok will be available to all premium customers, and not just premium plus customers who pay double the price for the blue tick and originally to get access to Grok. But whether this new Grok 1.5 will be limited to plus subscribers is yet to be seen, but this new Grok will roll out in the coming days. Now, another company working hard in the AI space is Meta, the makers of Facebook. And of course, we all know that Mark Zuckerberg has been on that famous 20 plus year apology tour. So I'm not too sure how much we can trust Facebook AI or Meta AI. But even so, Meta and Ray-Ban have famously introduced their smart glasses that let you shoot photos and videos, play music and more, just with a pair of what look like ordinary glasses, a little bit thicker. You know, all the electronics are in the bands, and there's little speakers there and microphones, but a big update is coming very soon. You'll be able to ask Meta AI to describe what you're looking at, whether it is famous landmarks, items such as plants, animals, and more in front of you, even to translate the text you're seeing into different languages. It's the sort of thing you once saw in sci-fi movies, and while you can already do this with your smartphone, this is from the glasses that you can wear and have customized with prescription lenses. So that update will be coming soon, and plenty more people will no doubt be talking about it. Now, in more AI hardware news, the world's number one PC seller is Lenovo. And in Bangkok earlier this week, an event that I was at, they held the launch of a suite of new laptop computers for consumers, businesses, and gamers with AI built directly into the system, mostly through the Intel Core Ultra chip, which has a neural processing unit next to the graphical processing unit and the central CPU, the main chip that's always been there in computers since they started. Now, this is also dovetailed with Windows 11 and the new Copilot key that's in all these computer keyboards, and this is called an AI PC, and it's a reason to get you to spend another few thousand dollars on buying a new computer, but this time with many speed improvements that AI can deliver. Now, I was at the event, I filmed the keynotes, a lot of the Q&A sessions where questions were asked by other media, including myself, and also a deep dive into the Ultra Core processor from Intel and the sort of percentages of improvement you get from using a computer that has one of these new chips inside, whether it's from Intel or AMD, as both companies now have the AI component inside their chips. Now, your existing computer can do this, but it will simply do it in a much slower way. So if you go to my website, techadvice.life, you can read my article. It's right at the very top, and you can see the videos of all the presentations for yourself. And all these new models will be in store soon, and pricing yet to be announced. But if you look at the cost of computers, traditionally, it's a similar price. And there's even one that's got two screens, really quite amazing. Take a look at the videos and have a look for yourself. Now, Microsoft and OpenAI are also working to build a $100 billion AI supercomputer called Stargate. Whether it will let you, you know, physically go from one realm to another, like in the movie and the TV show Stargate, well, obviously not, but it'll let you go into the AI realm. And this computer system would be 100 times costlier than traditional data centers inside these supercomputers. And reports are saying that Microsoft will be funding a lot of that construction. Pretty soon, AI computing power is going to be a commodity. We are not there yet. It's currently still very expensive. But with all of these developments happening, that's most likely to be the case, certainly by the end of this decade. And we've also got Google has been wanting Apple to make its iMessage system work better with people using Android smartphones. Apple announced in November 2023 last year that it would be making itself compatible with the rich character system, the rich communication system that is Google Messages. Because at the moment, if you're an iPhone user and you send pictures and videos and group chats between iPhone users, it's all very smooth and simple and it works. But if you send those to Android users, you know, on Google smartphones, then doesn't always come across. The pictures can be lower res. The group messages can be strange, and you get these blue and green bubbles. Now, apparently the Android messages will still be green bubbles, but you'll be able to finally interact much more naturally. So you can easily send high res photos and videos, easily participate in group chats, and plenty more. So Google has announced that this is coming in the third quarter of 2024, which likely means when iOS 18 launches, and of course the iPhone 16 range in September. So that's a bit of a wrap. If you want to see more tech news, obviously I have more at techadvice.life, but if you join me every Wednesday with Chris Smith for Cyber Wednesdays, well, by then we'll be off daylight saving. It'll be 4:30 to 5 p.m. next Wednesday, Australian Eastern Standard Time, and of course anytime online. But now it's time to speak with our first guest for the evening, Jeff Park, the country manager of Seagate Australia. And he's here to talk about storage, but specifically about World Backup Day, which is March the 31st every year. Now, for us in 2024, that's tomorrow. That's a Sunday. And it's something that you should take very seriously. So, Jeff, welcome to the program.
Hi, Alex. Nice to be here. Thanks for having me today.
Thank you for taking the time. Now, let's start at the beginning. When did World Backup Day start? And shouldn't every day, or even every hour, every minute, every day be a backup day?
Yeah, well, you're right, Alex. I think that every day should be World Backup Day, because we are the older content creators nowadays. It's not just limited to musicians and artists. We all create data, and these are digital memories. Well, World Backup Day started about 12, 13 years ago, 2011. So it started a while back. Really, it was a campaign that someone said, I really had a really bad experience with, you know, losing all my cherishable memories. And we should really start having this day once a year to remind the importance of having your personal information, not just the business critical information, to really safeguard and have a backup as a regular routine. So I think it's a really good reminder for all of us. As I said, we all contribute to this digital DNA age where, you know, we take photos with the families, we have our, you know, favorite shows, we read books, and we all have this digital traces, whether banking or financial, that really is important things for us to keep safeguard.
Absolutely. Now, before we go any further into AI and related topics, can you please remind us all of the 3-2-1 backup rule, and whether in 2024 and with the plethora of, you know, cloud storage options and SSDs and physical hard disks, etc., whether this rule should be updated?
Well, 3-2-1 is actually quite simple. 3 means you should really keep minimum 3 copies of your data, right? So you will have your original first backup and the second backup. And you should really using different storage media to store these valuable data, not just in one set of storage device. You should be looking at different options there. There are so many options there, and we can certainly talk about some of these options. One, I think we've seen that particularly in Australia, you know, you should really have one set of data remote, away from your home, away from your business, whether it's your cousin or your best friends, they should be looking after a set of data for you. And the good thing here is, in business side and the governments, they really mandate these, 3 files of backup. So a lot of your personal banking informations, medical informations, the informations that government keep, having these, you know, routines of making 3 copies and having a different remote backups. The problem here is, we can certainly talk about that, Alex, many people still don't do backup at all.
Yeah, look, I mean, 21% of people haven't ever backed up. 30% of computers already have malware on them. 113 phones are lost or stolen every minute. I mean, it's not just your PC you have to back up anymore. It's your tablet and your phone and, I mean, other devices. But, you know, I like to often like to say that everyone becomes an expert on backups after they've lost everything. But what are some of the other stats on just how fragile our data and cybersecurity is today, which puts so much data at risk of corruption, deletion, and human error?
Yeah, absolutely, Alex. I think, you said 20%. I actually heard 1 out of 4 Australian adults, that's millions of people, have never backed up until now. You know, you have to remember, all of us, as we said, create digital content, and a lot of us carry phones. You know, some of us don't even carry wallets anymore because your phone carries your driver's license, your medical information. You do your 90% of the banking on your phones. And to think about not backing up all your information is, you know, putting a high risk, right? It's more risk than losing a wallet. And Alex, you mentioned, you know, we use emails every single day on Easter, Sunday, Christmas. We write emails to our friends and we have our social media networks. Unfortunately, in last year alone, over 50% of the computers around the world has been prone to the cyber attack. Now, some of them has been safeguarded, but it's just show the scale of the cyber attacks that are out there. And some of the teenage kids who see, you know, starting to use computers to their studies, can't really tell the difference between the genuine or the scam. So that is becoming an alarming concern. So the other thing is about the phone. Some of the kids, unlike our generation, they start to use a phone as the first use of digital devices. Because they don't have the concept of backup, they really don't use a backup. They don't really understand. They don't use as a backup, as a necessity, and they don't routinely back up, while they're creating more content than any of our generations. Mm. So we really need to extend this World Backup Day to beyond, to a lot of young kids growing up as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'd need to switch on the cloud storage services of Google Photos, of iCloud, and also just to teach the importance of connecting your device to your computer and manually downloading things, because you need to have more than one copy. It's no good for it to all just be in the cloud. If the internet goes down for whatever reason, you need a urgent copy of something, to you can just go to your backup. But we'll get more to the different types of backup options in a moment. But what is the connection between artificial intelligence and the storage and backups of data?
Yeah. Well, you know, artificial intelligence is a topic every single day. You mentioned about the artificial intelligence just, 5 minutes ago. And we hear this all the time, not just in the IT, but in the consumer world, you know, in the fashion world. But let's think about what artificial intelligence is, because artificial intelligence is really about harnessing the information from the data stored, data that been generated. And, you know, today we often talk about data as a new digital currency, because that's where all the valuable information are sitting from the many businesses. So they really cannot, they really need to make an extra effort to harness the information. And that's where AI comes in, because AI need to access more data to be smarter and to make a more, decisions around helping the productizations and, you know, doing all the good things that we expect AI to do.
Now, the world has moved on to solid state drives for, you know, basic computing in your laptops and your tablets and your phones, the desktops that we buy, it's all solid state drives these days. But physically spinning hard drives are still used for data storage. So in what scenario, and Seagate sells both physical disks and SSDs, so you've got your finger in all the different options there, but why are people still buying physically spinning hard drives?
Well, SSD, you know, that changed the world, right? Because now we don't have to carry a heavy laptop with a hard drive anymore. Many of the laptops come in SSDs, and many of the portable devices, Alex mentioned, phones and tablets, they're available because SSDs made it happen. But at the same time, you have to think about how much of the world data is being stored in a physical hard drive. Over 90% of the digital data that's been created and being stored are in a physical spinning hard disk drive. There are many different factors. I mean, you can talk about, accessibility, the total cost of the ownership, as well as the business sense, right? Because with that amount of zettabytes of digital information being stored, there's no other alternative option than being a massive hard disk drive. So Seagate has recently announced a Mosaic 3 Plus platform, and that has been over two decades of research and development of using a heat-assisted magnetic recording. So it's a mouthful, but basically we use a tiny little laser to increase the aerial density. It's a fascinating technology. It took two decades for us to really make it available for everybody. And we're extremely excited about this new platform that we're going to be rolling out. It's going to push a single terabyte without changing the physical dimension, as we know, the standard industry's 3.5 inch, to 20 terabyte, to 30 terabyte, and beyond. So you think about a drive, size of the 3.5 inch spinning, going into 30, 40 terabyte, that's going to change the world because it's going to use less power. We all know the data center is becoming one of the power thirst engine. So we become environmentally conscious about and running the costs. We will have a less footprint to offer bigger capacity to businesses and users for us to harness all this information for AI.
Well, look, I like to say that you still need physically spinning disks. I have a Seagate one here, I think a different brand over here, but I still have these physically spinning drives. These are the 3.5 inch drives you were talking about, because I like to have physical copies of my data, not just in the cloud. I want my photo albums on these disks. And I have more than one because I have this disk backed up to this disk so that if one of these was to fall, I always have more than one copy. So look, Jeff, we're just going to take a quick break and we'll be back with you in a moment. I just want to quickly announce that TNT is an independent global news station that does what others only say they do. TNT is a live radio and TV broadcaster that simply tells the truth 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No one in the world does what we do, crisscrossing the globe, providing incredible news and opinion all day and all night. In 2.5 years, TNT has become a credible and exciting platform with brilliant hosts and staff. It's a critical time, and we must continue to call out the misinformation and propaganda from mainstream media and their powerful sponsors. We are now appealing to our many friends and supporters around the world to go to tntradio.live and make a small donation to TNT while we seek the right investors to continue our important mission. More with Jeff after the break.
TNT's Chris Smith.
I can tell you that Donald Trump is projected to win primaries in the states of Texas, Minnesota, Colorado, Virginia, Maine, Massachusetts, Arkansas, Alabama, Oklahoma, Tennessee, and North Carolina. And in a little bit of a turn up, the northeastern state of Vermont looks to have gone to his rival, his final rival, the former United Nations Ambassador Nikki Haley. Now, Nikki Haley's team has said that she won't be speaking tonight. That has been construed by many of the reporters in that location as she's about to exit the race in the next 24 hours.
Chris Smith on today's News Talk, TNT. TNT is an independent global news talk station that does what others only say they do. TNT is a live radio and TV broadcaster that simply tells the truth 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No one in the world does what we do, crisscrossing the globe, providing credible news and opinion all day and all night. In 2.5 years, TNT has become a credible and exciting platform with brilliant hosts and staff. It's a critical time, and we must continue to call out the misinformation and propaganda from mainstream media and their powerful sponsors. We're now appealing to our many friends and supporters around the world to go to tntradio.live and make a small donation to TNT while we seek the right investors to continue our important mission.
It sounds pretty good.
It sounds real, dude.
Not bad, huh?
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Thank you for joining me again on Talking Tech with Alex Arterbroit. My guest is Jeff Park, Country Manager of Seagate Technologies. Now, Jeff, we also live in a world where there's an increasing focus on refurbishing and recycling technologies. Now, in the world of storage, presumably once a solid state drive is worn out, which is just physical sort of chips like you see on little memory sticks, there's not much you can do about that, I'm assuming. Maybe you can tell me if that's not the case. But of physically spinning hard drives, I didn't realize that they could be recycled and refurbished. So what is Seagate and the industry doing there, and how reliable would these be when recycled?
Yeah, no, Alex, you're absolutely right. So we actually bring back live to a lot of hard drives. In fact, just last year alone, we were able to, you know, save 500 tons of hard drives going into waste. So we're talking about, you know, hundreds of thousands of drives that are being, you know, refurbished for different purposes, that instead of going into e-waste, because we use over 51 periodic elements to make hard drive from scratch. That's a lot of different rare earth materials that we use. So, you know, we put a lot of emphasis on circularity program, and this goes to not just enterprise, but, you know, businesses around the world, including Australia. And we wanted to extend it out to consumers as well, because you don't want to have all this, you know, old bricks in your home if this can be turned into something meaningful for, you know, storing digital data. Because there's so many science and technology goes into it, we can bring this refurbished drives into a very good purpose. And, you know, that's really making impact to the world. Not only that, you know, certain government agencies are very sensitive about the data. So we offer instant secure erase, where, you know, all these drives are self-encrypted and can never be, you don't have to physically shred, can never be accessible once you take away the key. So that also provides safeguard for, you know, businesses, especially data centers, you know, what that goes through hundreds of thousands of drives.
Absolutely. Now, there are a lot of consumer and enterprise backup solutions out there, be it Acronis, Veeam, Carbonite, Norton, and various others. So what is your advice on choosing the best data protection solution?
Well, you know, that also shows how the importance of backup is. You know, these businesses offer various of solutions for, you know, different customers' need. But one thing that you should really consider is it just backing up your contents? What about the security? We talked about the importance of security. Make sure there's embedded security throughout the backup hardware lifecycle, because without that, you're literally just giving your valuable information to someone. Now, a couple of the other options that became available in recent time is cloud backup. You know, we talked about has been a physical backup because you can easily access and you can, you know, restore from it as well. But if you want to have a remote backup and certain files being, you know, updated as you make changes, cloud backup can be useful. Now, don't get confused with cloud storage and cloud backup, because it's a completely different thing. But, you know, let's just go back to the fundamental basics, because a lot of the PCs we use and a lot of the NAS devices use, or the Seagate OneTouch, it's OneTouch for backup reasons. It comes with a fantastic software. Well, it does all the backups, incremental backups, or cloning, or cloud sync, without you having to do this every week. Once you set it up, it's meant to be doing a backup for you, a backup of your important files, making multiple copies. So when disaster strikes, you'll be back on no time.
Now, we've only got a couple of minutes left, but can you please share a memory of your first computer?
Well, my first computer, Alex, was 286. It was a tall tower with a massive CRT monitor in the front. And I remember, you know, I was having to go around 10 floppy disks to, you know, do any software installation. Backup, I think I used up to like 30 floppy disks. But back then, that was a fun part. You know, you were able to do everything, see everything. So I did a backup almost every week for first year. So I did have an incident, but I think I learned from that. And, you know, I was able to take my backups and restore the devices to the original condition, because, you know, these things will happen to all of us.
And do you remember when the first time the very first hard disk crash that you ever had?
Well, the first hard disk, I can't say my hard disks have crashed over the years, because I still have a 1-inch micro hard drive that Seagate manufactured in 2008. It still works. It's a little pocket size drive that still spins, but I do take care of it. And I think everybody really should be taking care of their digital contents.
And just before we go, is there any great advice that you've received in life that has helped you get to where you are today that you'd like to share?
Yeah, well, Alex, I think we have so much that we've been offered to our life. You know, having to do this interview over the Zoom is one thing, you know, meet people around the globe. So I really has taken the last few years to, you know, give back what you can. I started to do some community services, a lot of volunteer work, get involved with a charity event. And it's really fun way of, you know, meeting new people and having a lot of fun, but also, you know, having a chance to take a look back and see what you can do, because, you know, there's plenty of things that you can do to help others. And there are a lot of people in need. So do appreciate what you have and try to give back.
And Jeff, what is your final message to the viewers, listeners, and readers?
Well, you know, we really, you know, cherish this digital life that we have. And we, you know, are content creators. We create a lot of data. We use a lot of data. Our life cycle evolves around a lot of data. You may not realize it, right? How much data you're using every single day. And, you know, let's think about it. One of the first things, if your house catches a fire, you probably go for family photos, right? Mm. Now, where are your family photos now? In your phone, in your computers, right? Where are your first, you know, child's video? Make sure you safeguard this. And then, as we said, 3, 2, 1, you want to put some copies in your relatives, best friends, right? Because you don't know what's going to happen tonight. You don't know what's going to happen in 1 year, but you certainly don't want to lose your digital memories.
And you certainly can encrypt that hard disk with a password so that those relatives can't just log into your drives and have a look. And there's the cloud as well. There's lots of options. You definitely need to back up. Jeff Park, Country Manager for Seagate Technologies in Australia, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Alex. Appreciate it. Thank you.
No worries. Hope to talk again. Well, look, after the break, we're going to be talking with Daniel Hewitt, CEO and co-founder of Future Labs. See you in a moment.
When a crisis hits, close to home and across the globe, nonprofits are on the front lines, ready to serve.
Keep coming.
The demand for charitable services has skyrocketed, and nonprofits are rising to meet the needs. Healing, nurturing, rescuing, honoring, protecting, caring, inspiring. The work of philanthropic organizations of all sizes, across all missions, has never been more important. And it's donors and volunteers like you who make all this possible. Thank you. Together, we change the world. The Nonprofit Alliance.
The conversation continues.
I don't believe it, and I think that's a terrible position that I am in, that I don't trust my government.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Thank you for joining me again on Talking Tech with Alex Zaharov-Royt. It's time to introduce Daniel Hewitt. He's the CEO and co-founder of Future Labs, a creative technology studio. Dan, welcome to the program.
G'day, Alex. How are you?
I'm really good. I'm having the time of my life. It's great to be hosting a technology show on the world's best 24/7 news network. So I really appreciate you taking the time to join me. Now, we do live in a world where inclusivity is now possible to a greater degree than ever before, especially when it comes to people who are blind, have low vision, are deaf or hard of hearing, let alone those with other abilities or disabilities. For technology has come a very long way. I mean, we've seen with Elon Musk and his Neuralink, there was one of the quadriplegics who can now control the Super Mario Kart, even play Civilization, all using just thoughts. It's like almost like having the Force. You can see all the Star Wars stuff behind me as a kid. I mean, I'm sure we've all tried to reach out with the Force and never could quite get there, but now with technology, we can do that. Now, Daniel, we'll learn more about Future Labs and the work you do a little later, but first, you've worked with Cadbury and its parent company, Mondelez, on creating an accessible Easter egg, and this year's accessible Easter egg hunt was held last week. But let's start at the beginning. What is an accessible Easter egg, and how does it work?
Well, Alex, I mean, we've all taken Easter egg hunts for granted, right? You and I, everyone out here, like, you know, something that we just, you know, every year rolls around. Easter, great time of year to be with friends, family, siblings. And it's something that you think about with, you know, especially with children with vision impairment who have never had this experience in their life. And working closely with Cadbury, who are all about bringing the joy and generosity to, you know, every walks and forms of life, they thought, well, you know, let's give something back here to, you know, children with vision impairment who have never had these hunts before. So why not create an Easter egg, an audible Easter egg that has, you know, sonic sound and motion detection that could, you know, be placed in a garden or an environment where these children can walk around and, you know, listen to audible sounds and discover, you know, that magic of Easter where you can, find an Easter egg by, you know, listening to sound and not having to rely on sight. So that's effectively what an accessible Easter egg and an Easter egg hunt is.
Now, this is the second such Easter egg hunt. The first was in Melbourne last year. So what was this year's turnout like? And what was the reaction from the children, parents, and people who took part in this first one for Sydney?
Well, and until you're there and actually see, you know, the children and the anticipation, you know, these are kids that are 7, 8, 9, 10 years old that have never done this before. And to see the anticipation on their faces to go, hey, I'm actually going to do this. And it really is a great thing to witness. But what really captures your attention is when the children participate and you look around and see the parents and the guardians of these children that have never done this before. And, you know, I've never seen so many people cry or shed a little bit of a tear to, you know, see something so small, you know, but so impactful. Really take enjoyment of this experience. And also one thing that people don't realize is, you know, a lot of these children with vision impairment, for example, have brothers and sisters who have never participated in something like this before together.
Yeah.
And to see the brothers and sisters, you know, finally do this and you get something so small that we all take for granted, it's truly, truly amazing. And it's something that just lights up your day. It really just makes it worthwhile to see such a special moment like this.
Well, Bill Gates always spoke about the magic of software, but it's the magic of technology that is truly changing our lives. And in fact, I'm just wondering, were the accessible Easter egg technologies involved this year improved from last year's models?
Well, like anything, like we're prototyping and making these products and, you know, you're always looking for small advancements and it could be something like just smaller form factors or smaller batteries. You know, better sensors, better detection, you know, hoping that Bluetooth might get better, you know, looking for things like that. It's, you know, they can kind of just, you know, add those little 1%, you know, little increments into these types of products and technology. So we're always looking to make these things better and more fun and, hey, and just more enjoyable in general.
Yeah. Now, do you think these technologies will ever be commercialized at some point? And if that's not going to happen anytime soon, is there something that parents can do at home with, you know, air tags or with something to sort of replicate this for their own kids? There's still a couple of days of Easter to go. If people want to try this out, they could still do it tomorrow or the next day.
Exactly right. I mean, I'm a big believer in, you know, not using technology for tech's sake, but, you know, using technology in a way to enhance an experience or enhance someone's life or make it easier or problem solve something. And there's so many things available these days to people around us. You know, there's technologies such as, you know, simple things like Bluetooth. And so, yeah, it's extremely accessible for, say, parents to create an experience for their children by potentially putting a little Bluetooth speaker, you know, in the garden. And controlling that with their phone and you know, creating that little experience for their kids and making it a little bit more enjoyable. So yeah, there is stuff out there. I mean, we're pushing the boundaries a little bit more with, you know, we're looking at, you know, using LiDAR type sensors and looking at all different types of proximity data to create Easter egg hunts for multiple children in one place at any given time. So there's stuff that we're trying to push to make this a more kind of, you know, joyous gathering for lots and lots of people. But yeah, hey, at the end of the day, like, this stuff is readily available and I'd love to see more people, you know, trying different things.
Absolutely. And it's something that parents could do whether the kids have any vision or audio impairments or, you know, or not. I mean, mix it up, do something different. Yeah. It's, there's so many opportunities out there. Now, look, Dan, we're going to take a very quick break. I just want to quickly say that if you love a good documentary, then you'll love our special screenings, Uninterrupted. Cinema features some of the latest or notable documentaries from the world's best filmmakers. So please check out TNT's website for more information. Weekends are better when you spend it with us here on Today's News Talk, TNT. Back after the break.
I said, could she die? And the doctor said she could. It was so scary.
When I started clawing at my neck and trying to breathe, and I thought, you know, what are we going to do if I die here? How's everyone going to go on?
When someone's gravely sick or injured in the bush, they rely on the Royal Flying Doctor Service. But now the Flying Doctor needs your help to fund vital medical equipment and supplies. Please search Flying Doctor online to give a regular gift of just $10. You can help equip the Flying Doctor's teams to respond to any emergency anywhere. Search Flying Doctor online. Become a part of the Royal Flying Doctor Service and help save lives in the bush.
The next time you think you can illegally handle your mobile phone while driving and get away with it, think again. Phone detection cameras are in operation on New South Wales roads.
Hello.
So if you're driving and illegally handle your mobile phone, you can stop it or cop it.
Alex Zaharoff-Royt and Talkin' Tech on Today's News Talk, TNT.
I'm here with Daniel Hewitt, the CEO and co-founder of Future Labs, a creative technology studio, and we've been talking about the Cadbury accessible Easter eggs. Now, Dan, has anyone suggested that Cadbury, you know, yourselves and another company called NextSense, we'll talk about them in a moment, but that you do the same thing again for example, the Orthodox Easter, which is coming in a few weeks' time, or that you make the tech available for other charity events, you know, for school fetes, Royal Easter shows, and similar activities where, you know, this could be used by not only kids with accessibility issues, but all children.
We're continually working with Cadbury and Mondelez to improve this and use this for other experiences and engagements. But there's no reason why we couldn't push the boundaries and use this for other events. You mentioned Orthodox Easter and the likes, school fetes, anything to do with kind of hunts in general and just having fun. So, there's nothing stopping us. And we are actually looking at trying to commercialize this a little bit more and making it a little bit more easier to bring to the general public. Obviously, there's always, you know, cost involved and how you can make it, cost effective for people to get their hands on it and use. So, yeah, it's stuff that we're always looking at and quite excited about the possibilities.
Now, Cadbury and yourselves work with NextSense to host this event. So can you please tell us more about this fabulous organization?
Yeah, I'm not sure if people know about NextSense, but they're a non-profit organisation here in Australia that provides support and programs for not only children but families and adults that with vision or hearing impairment for that matter. So I think anything from getting them ready for school and providing the different programs and support, but working with NextSense or something like this is. Just getting the insights from them of what was going to make this work for these children was just invaluable. And we just sat down with them and listened and just took so much in. And when we were starting to build these prototypes, we would always bounce ideas off them and to make sure that, what we thought was going to work was going to work for the audience. So, yeah, again, just great working with people like that.
Now, Future Labs, as you've described, is a creative technology studio. So what else does the studio work on? And are you working on any other creations for Cadbury or organizations globally?
Yeah. So, Future Labs has been around for about 10 years now. We work with marketers, advertising agencies, brands that are looking to kind of push push the needle a little bit with their advertising campaigns. And so they kind of come to us, and everything that we do, you know, we're Craig Technology Studio. So we look at technology again to try and solve that problem, trying to raise awareness of what a campaign they might be trying to push there. So, you know, we've worked with the, you know, like say retailers like Nike or Adidas, you know, using augmented reality to create an actual special experience for when people are unboxing their brand new pair of shoes, you know, using augmented reality to go, wow, look at this, is amazing. Right through to say a skincare brand in a retail environment and using technology in there to educate people about different products, you know, by picking up the product and lifting and learning and using screens to kind of tell people about that product and how it could help them. Right through to say a big brand like MasterCard, a big innovation brand like MasterCard that are sponsoring rugby and World Cups where they want to stand out from the crowd, and they're like, hey, Future Labs, how can we make our player of the match sponsorship bigger and better? Why don't you maybe capture all that real-time match data, throw it in a trophy, and play it as it happens and present that to the player at the end of the game? So, like, just crazy stuff, just amazing stuff that we get to play with, and our team is so good. It's, you know, a bunch of technologists that get to sit there and research and play with technology every day. It's a really a fun place to work.
It's never Groundhog Day in the world of tech. That's what I always like to say. I mean, I'm always going to different launches, talking about new technologies. It's really quite incredible. And of course, generative AI has been the theme of 2023 and the theme of this year as well. So how has the advent of AI enhanced and changed the work that you're doing?
I'm a massive believer in it. I love it. We started using AI a while ago, but you know, not to this level. And I think with Gen AI, for example, is even just our everyday where we're coming up with ideas and we're trying to visualize those ideas for our clients. And by using Gen AI to kind of basically, you know, draw up a vision of what we're thinking in our heads is just amazing. This would usually take us days and days and days to try and, you know, mock this idea up to kind of explain the idea to the client. And you know, let's be honest, it's a matter of minutes now. So it's just great like that. But we're using it in all forms and right through to say conversational AI. We do a lot of work with, say, Alexa, you know, creating Alexa skills and voice skills and stuff like that, where it was very kind of, you know, one-dimensional, where you had to write scripts to cater for every kind of conversation that you might have with your Alexa speaker. Right now, you can use AI to learn about the person that you're having that dialogue with and create a little bit more of a real conversation. So, yeah, it's exciting. It's probably a little bit nerve-wracking as well to see what it can bring. But, we're embracing it, and, it's great.
And can you tell us anything about the AI tools that you're using? I mean, most people will say, well, we're using ChatGPT, but is there anything, without giving any trade secrets away, is there anything specific that or different that you're using that would be interesting to share?
I mean, people would have been hearing about, say, like Midjourney. So that's back on the Gen AI stuff.
And just for people wondering, that's to make imagery just by typing and asking for an image, even videos to be created. But Midjourney is all about image creation. But yeah,
correct. Keep going. Yeah, correct. So we use that tool quite a lot. So and our designers and our creatives who have kind of grown up using, say, Photoshop and Illustrator and all those kind of traditional programs. And now actually looking to, say, programs like Midjourney to help them mock up, as I said, these concepts or these ideas. And it's learning how to prompt and reprompt to get the right sets of images to, again, visualize this idea that they're thinking about.
Adobe hasn't stood still either. They've introduced Firefly and a whole stack of generative AI stuff that can see the Midjourneys coming to take away all their work. So they've been scrambling to level up as quickly as they can.
Yeah, and Google's knocking on the door. Old Elon Musk is knocking away as well. So, you know, it's all happening. It's a big kind of power play at the moment.
Now, one of the questions I always like to ask the people I'm speaking with, can you please share a memory of your first personal computer?
Oh, okay. I'm probably showing my age here, Alex, but I actually vividly remember, I think as maybe say a six-year-old kid, my dad bringing home, like, you know, one of the original 386 PCs, you know, the big bricks with the floppy disks. And I remember just being blown away because they had two disk drives, you know, where you put, you know, the operating system in the A drive and start that up. And then, you know, the dad would have a few games, you know, like Snakes or something like that. We'd put that in the B drive and type in the prompt, and it's probably going back to AI now, prompting everything, typing yeah. commands to start the game, and away you go. So yeah, I just remember as a young kid, and I probably that was the first time I really kind of thought, you know, wow, this is pretty cool.
Absolutely. Oh, look, I'm the same. I mean, for me, it was in 1979, and we had tape drives. You know, there were no disk drives. I mean, there were disk drives back then, but there were the 8-inch floppy disks. Yes. And then they had the 5 1/4-inch floppies, yeah, and of course, the three-inch ones. Yeah, well, the 8-inch ones were like almost like a 12-inch record. I mean, they were big, but they were really something from the sort of late 70s. But also, I'm just wondering about the VR headsets, the MetaQuest 3s and Apple Vision Pros. I mean, the Vision Pro is supposed to come to a number of other countries, hopefully sometime soon. People saw in the code that there was, it's been announced it's going to go into China. Tim Cook was just in China, but there's English, Australia, and a bunch of other countries. Have you had a chance to play with an Apple Vision Pro or, you know, certainly the widely available MetaQuest Pro headsets and work on some campaigns and ideas in those virtual and augmented reality environments with
like definitely not the Vision, not the Apple Vision stuff, but definitely with the meta stuff. I'm a big believer in AR and using AR and mixed reality and the likes for obviously making people's lives a little bit easier, you know, whether it's say using AR to work out where you're going and navigating your environment, you know, you start to see it in vehicles, you know, kind of as a wayfinding experience. But I think from a learning possibility of wearing these glasses and being able to see and be taught something with, you know, overlaying graphics I think that's next level. And I'm excited for the stuff like the Apple Vision where it's, you know, hopefully it'll become just a little bit more everyday and smaller form factors. So, you know, maybe being adaptable to spectacles or glasses that you currently wear. I think when they can get it to that level of detail, I think, you know, we're onto something special.
Absolutely. I can't wait. And I've interviewed people who are working on the technologies that can beam, you know, or display directly into like normal glasses what appears to be very high resolution images that are 3D. You can see a bird, you know, or something landing on your finger like in the Apple Vision Pro. And those technologies are the ones that will be appearing in future versions. Dan, I'm wondering what it was the moment that sort of sparked the idea. What was the pain point, you know, that gave you the idea to create a technology studio and, you know, found it with your co-founders and make this your business reality?
It's where do I start? I mean, people might say I'm a bit crazy to do something like this, but as I said, I've always had a passion for technology, computers, graphics, you name it. And I've worked in the industry for years and years and years, maybe more on the advertising side of things. When I had the opportunity to kind of go out on my own and do it again, and you know, the classic story of, you know, not much money behind you and just do it for the love of it. And I think that's the most important thing, is that I just did it because I loved it and I didn't worry about anything else. And yeah, lo and behold, you know, 10 years later, we've got offices here in Australia, here in Melbourne, right into Asia as well. So it's kind of cool just to see it naturally evolve. And again, it's just back to doing it for the love of it, the passion. Yeah.
And is there any project you're working on right now that you can tell us about, or is it top secret?
Put me on the spot there a little bit, but there's a couple of things that say we're working on. I think with, you know, COVID, you know, getting out of the way, we're seeing things starting to open back up, in particularly in retail environments. So, you know, we're doing a lot of kind of retail projects at the moment, you know, looking to enhance those retail experiences. And I go, e-commerce is a big thing, but I think more and more people are striving for that touch and feel and getting back out there. So, yeah, that's the stuff that we're working on. We're always looking at different types of sensors and things like that, that, you know, you can detect what people are doing and what they're touching and feeling and how they're reacting. You've talked about the brainwave stuff before and the emotion that you can tap into with EEG headsets, you know, and looking at that. And we've been experimenting with things like that for a while, where you bring the emotion into, say, a purchase decision. You know, what's driving that person to potentially, get excited about that product? So that's quite fascinating. You know, looking at the brainwave stuff is quite scary, but quite exciting as well.
Now, my second last question is to ask if you could please share any of the great advice that you've received in life to help you get where you are today.
I think just have a crack. Just do it for yourself. Do it for your friends. Do it for your family, the people that are close to you. Don't do it for anyone else. You know, if you can't just get enjoyment out of, you know, again, you know, it might be a business or a personal passion, just do it for yourself and for the people that matter around you. That's the biggest thing. Don't care what anyone else thinks, because otherwise you'll get bogged down in that. So, and when things get hard or things get tough, they're the people that you should look to, and they're the ones that are going to support you. So that's what I've tried to stick by, and, you know, thick and thin, and yeah, here we are.
So what is your final message to the viewers and listeners?
Again, big thanks, Alex, for inviting us on today. I really enjoyed it. Again, big thanks to people like Cadbury, you know, brands like that are looking to innovate and give back to communities. You know, that's what, you know, makes us get excited and get out of bed and the likes of that. We worked with a number of other agencies as well, you know, Alt Shift, great communications agency here in Australia, who actually concepted this idea and came to us and said, hey, we've got this great idea for, say, Cadbury, what do you think? You know, so people like that bringing us on board. And again, I couldn't thank, you know, Next Sense enough, you know, for their support and, you know, continually just giving us advice on how to bring these accessible Easter eggs together for Cadbury. It's, been great.
Well, Daniel Hewitt, the CEO and co-founder of Future Labs, thank you so much for the work that you're doing and for joining us here today on TNTRadio.live.
No worries. Thanks, Alex. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Now, just to finish off, we do in Australia have an organization called mobilemuster.com.au, and you will find similar organizations around the world. And you can actually go to many of the major supermarkets, and there's a bin there that you can put old batteries into and even old mobile phones. And you may have, in Australia, we have something called Officeworks. You would have similar organizations, similar stores around the world where you can take old computers, e-waste, you know, old printer cartridges. But the Mobile Muster people in Australia have said that there are 22 million phones sitting in the drawers of, you know, people's homes. And many of those phones are out of date. Now, a lot of people are concerned that they might have photos or other data on there that they haven't copied across. And if you go to the mobilemuster.com.au website, there's instructions there on how to wipe across. And if you go to the mobilemuster.com.au website, there's instructions there on how to wipe your iOS, your iPhone or your Android. But if you haven't transferred the data across, I mean, normally the cables to plug in to your phones are pretty widely available. You probably have some of them sitting in drawers alongside the phones. You can charge it up, plug it in, copy across any of the photos you haven't already done. But if you can't turn the phone on, 14 million of those devices can't be turned on or just broken. So you can actually be assured from the Mobile Muster people that they are going to make sure the data is wiped and cannot be taken off. But definitely, if you've got an older device, recycle it, because they can get those precious metals and they can use them in brand new phones. And it's really important that it's not just sitting there. The batteries can also expand and eventually catch fire. So recycle your old tech. That's all the time we have for on Talking Tech with Alex Saharov-Royd. I really appreciate that you're here. Please share this with other shows, with other people. Watch all the previous episodes. And coming up next, if you're watching live, is the fantastic Lembit Opik live from London. This is TNTRadio.live.